Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast. It is the end of April. It's raining this week where I am, which is good because I've never seen the river so low in the middle of spring, which does not bode well for the summer months. Sam, how's the weather in T-Dot?
Tons of rain. It's gonna rain all weekend. Rain has not been a problem. To put it mildly.
I see.
Yeah, the rivers are swollen.
Gah, that's what we need. We need swollen rivers. I've been in a bad mood all week.
Tell me more. What's got you down?
I don't know. Probably just with this. Unleashing my comedy on the world, I've been looking at my phone too much. And
You're supposed to do the opposite of that after you release something.
I know. Well, couldn't help myself. I mean, there hasn't been a huge influx of negativity, but there has been enough to get me annoyed. But it's not really... I mean, it should have been something I could see coming. The point is that it's not good to be checking your phone all the time, looking for affirmation. That being said, go watch my YouTube special called Salty, or listen to the album on Spotify, whichever you prefer. How's your week been?
It's been pretty good. I went to an open mic that turned out to be canceled.
Oh, beautiful.
So then I went to a different one, fortunately. That was okay, but it was during a Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game, so it was like competing with that. Especially when they lost, and then the energy was just awful.
I guess that's one bonus of living in a smaller town with a smaller comedy scene is that I don't have to worry too much about the sporting events happening in the world. It doesn't affect the crowds, really, that I've noticed. I never have to look at when a show is and also be like, oh, there's a Canucks game that night. Oh, no, that's going to be a problem. That doesn't seem to be something that I have to worry about here, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't notice.
I think it wouldn't really matter if especially if you're not doing a show in a place where they're playing the game on TV and people.
Or the city where it's playing, right?
Yeah, like exactly. The same town.
Like, I don't notice. Crazy. The Canucks are in the playoffs currently, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I don't really even see like people wearing jerseys in my city, let alone it being like changing the mood of the general public. Mm-hmm. And we're not that far from Vancouver, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. But that was that. That was fun. And then did another open mic yesterday. That was also fun.
Good stuff.
Of course, the audience showed up as soon as my set was over.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Were they a good audience? Sometimes it's worse when a group of people shows up.
I had already been sitting there for like an hour and 45 minutes, so I left.
I see.
I was too tired. I had to go.
I've gotten to that point where like if I'm in a bad mood or too tired, I don't even leave the house. I haven't left my house all week, but I will be going out tonight to try and do some jokes. So hopefully that'll cheer me up, pull me out of my funk. I've been in a funk. Not the cool. Not
good down.
Guy. No, not James Brown type of funk. More like Eeyore.
Eeyore, yeah. Well, that's pretty common amongst people when they put out a work, like when a director puts out a movie. A lot of famous directors get really depressed right after they put out a movie. So,
maybe
it's a reaction because. Now all your work is done and it's out there. It's out of your control.
You know what? I think you actually are right. Like there's all this tension leading up to the day it comes out. And then when it comes out, it's like this exciting moment. And then as the days go by, you're like, oh, I guess back to business as usual. And it's like that feeling you get when you're coming down the other side of a mountain peak.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's emotional.
Yeah, exactly. I heard Paul Thomas Anderson talk about that.
Like, yeah, I think I've noticed that in other people too, when they have a project they've worked on really hard and they let it release it into the world. And even if it's a positive response, it still is like this weird, yeah, there's a weird emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. But yeah. You know what? Onwards and upwards. There's only way, the only way through is forward, I guess.
You just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
The only way out is through. That's what I meant to say.
Ah, nice. Can't go over it. Can't go around it. Got to go through it.
Yeah.
Just
got to, keep living my life day by day. Gratitude. That's what I need to learn how to do. It's gratitude.
Yeah. Every morning, wake up, say what you're thankful for, but don't get sarcastic. That's what I do. I'm like, oh fuck, this is great. Oh, I'm so thankful.
So thankful this bullshit. Also, I think I've just been cooped up in the house all week, so I need to get out.
You gotta get out. You gotta get out.
I gotta get out.
I bought a raincoat at Valley Village today just so I can leave
the house
this weekend because it's raining. It's supposed to rain all weekend. So,
do you have a vehicle?
Hell no.
Do most people not have vehicles that you, the people you associate with, your friends in Toronto, the other comics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very few. Like a handful of them have a car, I think.
Right.
But it's like a city, like, no, you don't really need a car at all to get around here.
Yeah. I mean, I spent some time a few summers ago, like a week driving around Vancouver, and it was stressful.
Yeah, very stressful. Parking's a pain.
Parking is the worst thing.
Yeah,
in my opinion. You'll spend 30 minutes driving to your destination and another 30 looking for parking. It's brutal.
Yeah. Toronto's interesting because there's a lot of houses in the city, so people have driveways and stuff where they
go.
But yeah, Vancouver, totally different story. But there's also a lot of auto theft in Toronto. And the cars get shipped overseas.
Wasn't there like, didn't the police put out a statement to like leave your car keys by the front door so that robbers don't have to go deeper into your house?
That was insane. I don't know what the deal with that was.
Basically, make it easier. You gotta make it easier for them to steal your vehicle, or else it could be dangerous. That was their response.
Yeah, that's wild. There were like four murders in the span of like a week or two recently. And one of them happened very close to where I live. And then, someone drove a car just through a brick wall of an optical store, near where I live as well. I don't know if it was on purpose, but like, there's basically like half a car sticking out of the side of this building.
Oh my god. Yeah, there was a body found in our city recently.
Nice. What cause of death?
They suspect homicide.
Autopsy.
Well, they just say that's what I read on the news, is that it was clear someone dragged this body up here. That's basically what they said. So yeah.
How do they know it was someone and not like a coyote or something?
I don't know if a coyote could pull you'd need the whole pack, maybe. Oh, I saw a video recently.
They're not very big.
I saw a video of a security camera footage of a small dog getting killed by coyotes, and that might have triggered the first negative thought of the week, and then I've just been on that train.
Oh man. Yeah, I would avoid videos of such.
Well, it's nature. This nature is metal.
Instagram. Don't look at that shit. That shit's so impressive.
Some of it is fascinating to watch. But
I used to subscribe to it. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I find it worse when it's a domesticated pet getting fucked up. You know, like this was like a small dog.
Yes, but like,
I could watch a pack of lions take out a water buffalo. No problem.
Can you really blame them for the brutality they commit? Like when a Komodo dragon rips open the womb of a pregnant antelope and eats its baby.
Can I blame them?
Yeah, would you blame it for that?
I don't know. Depends what you mean by the word blame.
Like, would you?
Like, it's definitely. Like,
would you put it on trial and be like, "We sentence you to death for your horrible act"? Like, should we start putting animals on trial for doing stuff like that?
For murder?
Yeah. Like, say we see like a wolf kill a deer or something like that. For unprovoked, kills a deer.
I'll say this much. If our justice system gets so efficient that we have so much extra resource and time on our hands because all the trials are going so quickly and efficiently that we are able to now start doing trials for wildlife, then I think we've really turned a corner in society and we're probably doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, if it attacked a person, we would just kill it, right? We wouldn't bother putting it on trial.
No. Yeah. That's kind of unfair. Well, the great tragedy of Harambe, I think everybody's familiar with that.
R.I.P. Harambe. Yes.
See, that guy didn't even kill anyone. He was protecting. Well, I don't know if it was protecting, but
he knew something. He knew that maybe the parents were abusive or something.
You think so?
Harambe could sense it, probably.
I saw some video of this, of the incident recently. I don't think I've ever actually seen the video, but he's definitely like got this kid by the ankle and is dragging it through. He's got this kid by its ankle and like is dragging it through water, but it's not.
Yeah, he's cleaning it.
He's clean. He's
abuse marks and the filth that the child was subjected to.
Yeah. He's like, when's the last time you had a bath? Jeez, don't your parents care about you? It didn't look like he was trying to drown it. It was just like kind of dragging it around and then like putting it behind him. Like, I feel like it was trying to protect it, but also maybe clean it.
To be honest, dragging something by the ankles is usually not what you do if you care about it. It's welfare.
But the kid didn't even seem like it hurt to be dragged. Like, I don't think it was crushing its ankle or anything. But at the same time, I could imagine being one of the, like, I don't know, the zoo police and being like, I think I got to take this shot.
I'm surprised they used a lethal force when it was like holding a kid. Like,
I'm not surprised, because what if you get hit by a dart and it doesn't kill you? And then as your consciousness is fading, you kind of lash out and start.
How do they not have just like a doses like measured out already for this animal, like God doses to just put it down.
Unless it puts it down and like, because you need it to be an instant death, basically, is what I.
Well, not instant death, but like they must have some tranquilizer that could just.
I don't think there's any tranquilizers that make you lose consciousness instantly, despite the movies.
Yeah, maybe not.
See, the thing is that everybody was in an uproar about the Harambe incident, but if that gorilla had killed that child, people would have been just as mad that they didn't kill the gorilla, right? Maybe not just as mad.
People would have been more mad, yeah.
They would have been asking, why didn't you kill this thing, right?
Just, why didn't you kill the gorilla?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
R.I.P. Harambe.
Yeah.
I didn't know Harambe dragged the kid around by the ankles.
Maybe I was watching a different incident, but in the comments.
I thought he was just holding it and like protecting it, and then they shot him in the head or something.
But the video I saw, if it was in fact the Harambe incident, was the gorilla was like kind of shielding it from the crowd, like putting the baby behind him in a protective gesture. But then when it wanted to move to a different spot, it would grab the kid by the ankle and drag it through this like shallow river to get to a more defensible position.
It sounds like it would have probably just started smacking it around and killed it eventually.
I mean, it would have taken one hit to the cement wall and that kid would have been dead. So
okay, well, R.I.P. Harambe. Anyway, would we have put Harambe on trial if it had killed the kid?
No,
probably not.
Well, who would have been its lawyer? Coco?
Ace Ventura? Get Jim Carrey to come and
animal lawyer.
Your Honor, this ape cannot be criminally responsible.
Except for it's a drama this time.
Courtroom drama with a gorilla. Yeah. Gorilla in the courtroom. That'd be great.
Sir, why is your client not wearing a suit?
Yes. There's an 800-pound gorilla.
Borrow one from Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Well, anyway, where am I trying to go with all this talk about animals? I'm trying to segue hard into our discussion about psychopaths.
Oh, and, we're talking about psychopaths?
Yeah, specifically like with respect to philosophy.
Okay.
So the reason I brought up all like the animals and like, would you blame a Komodo dragon for doing something really vicious to another animal? Would you be like, you're an evil thing. You should know better. No, you probably wouldn't say that because of like, that's the Komodo dragon's nature is to do that. And also but in addition to that, it also doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong.
Right. What was that one? There was like this, I don't know if you call it a parable or an adage about the scorpion hitching a ride on the back of a toad across a river.
Oh yeah. Donald Trump always tells that story.
Oh really? Okay. One second. My cat's being an asshole. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, give it the double blink. Give it the double blink. The
double blink. It's not even looking at me. Hang on.
When they don't even look at you, that's the true sign of disrespect.
So funny how cats just hate closed doors. Like my cats, if they're inside, they want out. If they're outside, they want in. They just do not like being cut off from a room.
Huh. They need passage.
It's like they're like take it as a personal affront, like we're sealing off their territory.
Probably, yeah.
Anyways, what was I just talking about? Right, if you don't know this, I didn't know Donald Trump. Are you sure? When did Donald Trump reference this?
Maybe he told it more in 2016, I think. But
oh.
He'd tell that story like every rally. He'd be like, there's a snake or the scorpion and the toad.
And the point of that, the story is there's a snake, there's a toad and a scorpion on one side of a river. The scorpion needs to get back to get across the river. And so he asked the toad to let him ride on its back. And the toad is like, no, you'll sting me. And the scorpion's like, no, I promise I won't sting you. And then they make some promise and promise. And he's like, fine, I'll give you a ride. And then they get across the other river. And then the scorpion stings the toad. And the toad said, how could you sting me? You told me you wouldn't. And then he said, because I'm a scorpion. Basically saying it's in my nature. So despite what I say, I'm always a scorpion gonna scorpion, basically, is what the point is. So
yeah,
you can't blame something for behaving like
you shouldn't be surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be surprised when someone acts like what they are, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of similar. Yeah. So the point is with psychopaths, they, according to what I read on the American Psychological Association or something, of their website, they say there's like two like characteristics or like two kinds of characteristics. There's a personality and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to look at it. So behavior would be characterized by aggression, impulsivity, and violation of others' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then personality would be callousness, remorselessness, and narcissism.
Those are the behavior and personality of a psychopath.
Yes. Yeah. But people can express those traits to different degrees.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you think about it,
psychopaths, their personality can come across as charming if they want to be.
Yes, they can be manipulative. Yeah. But it's interesting that built into it is violation of others' rights. So like built into their behavior seems to be immoral action, seems to be part of their very nature. So that would work towards saying that they're less morally responsible. But on the other hand, it seems like they understand the difference between right and wrong. They just don't care.
It's that they don't care. It's that they can't care.
Yeah, precisely. They can't care.
It's the, yeah. So I was like, do you think in the future it's going to be, get to a point where like they can't condemn psychopaths for killing people because it's in their nature?
Well, that's like, that's an interesting question because they still understand the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't feel guilt or remorse for violating it.
Right. So aren't they at a disadvantage to the rest of the, of society when it comes to the ability to follow rules?
Exactly. That's why they feel they are above most people and they're constrained by the petty laws of mere mortals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good point. It is a disadvantage for them. Like morality being built into law is a big disadvantage for them.
Yeah, they don't like that.
Yeah, like that.
But it's like, it's almost like what's worse, someone who has the feelings of guilt and yet they still do what they want, or someone who can't feel guilt and does what they want because of that?
Can't feel guilt. Yeah, it depends what you mean by can't. Because well, clearly there is some work on like rehabilitation and there's some work on that.
I've always heard that psychopaths cannot be rehabilitated.
It seems like it's extremely difficult, especially if they're adults and they've never had treatment, but it seems like they try to head it off if they identify the traits in childhood early on.
And how could you ever trust that it's actually being fixed and not just, they're just realizing that this is what people want to hear. So I better do what they say.
You got to give them the Dexter option, I think.
You got to let them kill other psychopaths.
Kill other psychopaths, yeah.
Well, it's like that answer that people, like, I hate to turn into the realm of pedophilia, but so I've heard this argument for pedophiles is like, they can't help they're attracted to kids, so why not give them an outlet, like, via AI pornography or something, where no kids are actually being harmed, but they can release their fucking pedophile urges. And it's like, because I heard there's a town somewhere where a bunch of pedophiles all live together because there's no kids there and they just live their lives out.
Vatican City.
That would be like the same argument for psychopaths killing people, right? It's like they can't help it. You got to put them in a town with other psychopaths and they can just, you know, give them AI lifelike dolls to murder.
Yeah, well, I would say the town of pedophiles is Vatican City.
And... yeah, that, I mean, it seems to be.
But
pedophilia is something that I think is that's not built in software. I think that's like something that happened to you triggers that. Is that, I'm not a psychologist. Surprise, I'm not a psychologist, everyone who's listening. I know you thought I probably was some sort of accomplished academic, but nope, just your every guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with a lot of abuse and stuff like that, the people who do it also suffered it,
mm-hmm.
Usually in childhood. So like with, at least with psychopathy, it seems to be a mixture of both. And there's two ways. One way is that the amygdala in the brain is smaller in psychopaths and there's less activity in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the other is environmental, like being raised by someone with psychopathic traits, because antisocial traits appear to be, they're either hereditary genetically or they're passed on through being raised by someone and learning from them how to behave.
Right.
But basically, if you have those two combined things, a small amygdala, and you're raised by someone who's antisocial, you'll probably be a psychopath.
You're probably a psychopath. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah. As to the, that was a,
that's
another
the new, Jeff Fox routine.
Yeah.
You wet your bed until you're like, 17 and you murdered your dog, you're probably a psychopath.
Oh my God. Speaking of murdering dogs and psychopaths, there's the presidential election going on. Trump's one of the favorites to be Trump's vice president is a governor named Kristi Noem, Republican governor, and she's releasing a memoir or a biography, autobiography or something. Mm-hmm. And she tells a story in that about killing one of her puppies, like shooting it in a gravel pit, like digging into a gravel pit and shooting it.
I'm literally looking at a picture of the dog right now.
It's oh my God.
The dog that Kristi Noem murdered is a picture of the dog she killed. Wow. Tell me more. This is the first time I'm hearing it. And I just happened to be
looking. Okay. This is like exactly the kind of hypothetical we were talking about earlier. So she had this puppy. Mm-hmm. And according to her, you know, this thing couldn't be trained. And so she thought a good way for it to calm down would be to take it hunting.
Yes.
Which is like batshit insane. So she thought, okay, I'll take it hunting with the other dogs. So she takes it hunting. She says it doesn't hunt very well. It just goes crazy, runs around being a puppy, basically. Mm-hmm. And then, so she takes it home and, she stops on the way home to talk to some people, and they have a chicken coop, and the puppy runs into the chicken coop and starts killing all the chickens.
Right.
And so she decides to shoot the puppy.
So it is kind of good at hunting. I mean, it's got
turns out, killer. Yeah. If they're all corralled, it has the right instinct. If they're all corralled.
It just likes a specific kind of hunting.
Yeah, exactly. Like she took it out to kill pheasants in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. Like, it did exactly what she brought
it to do. This is probably what the dog was saying.
This is even worse. Oh my God.
I don't get it.
Yeah. He's like, what do you want me to do?
You said kill bird, and now I kill bird, and now you mad?
Yeah. You just taught me how to do this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So she decided that the best thing to do would be to take it to a pit, gravel pit, and shoot it, which she did with a shotgun. And then she did the same thing later to a goat that was apparently very mean. She had to shoot it twice with a shotgun.
The crazy part is that she thought this was a good idea to put in her fucking book. Clearly that's not cool behavior, but the fact that she thought putting that in the book was a good idea is just showing that she's unempathetic to animals and a fucking idiot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it demonstrates so much because A, she's putting an animal on trial for like just doing something. Well, I guess they like technically you do have to put animals down if they're crazy, but
I know, but you don't usually put an animal down unless it's hurt a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Especially not when it's done exactly what you took it out to do. Just didn't quite get it right.
You don't just kill a dog because it's not doing the job the way you like it.
Yeah, exactly. And a puppy as well. Like, how can you remorselessly shoot a puppy? So she's just demonstrating like this personality of callousness. And the whole point of her story was that she has what it takes to do the dirty jobs.
Okay, because I was like, all right, maybe she was saying it remorsefully in the book. Like, I'm
point is like, I can do the dirty work. That's her point.
If you guys got puppies, bring them here. I'll show them all.
Bring me your puppies.
Oh my God.
A shotgun and a gravel pit.
Is she like a porn star looking person? I feel like that's all Donald Trump.
She is.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's he's such a basic bitch, man.
Yeah.
He just needs hot people around him no matter how incompetent they are.
Oh man. It's
oh my God.
Thing.
She does. She looks like she looks
it's exactly what you would expect, right? Exactly what you would expect.
Oh my God, he's so predictable. How has this like not been completely used against him? Just, I feel like you could manipulate him so easily if you just find a really hot girl.
He's on trial right now for paying hush money payments and disguising them as legal expenses.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. He's already been fucked by this little hang up he has.
But it is interesting to see like these psychopathic traits in politicians, like people who are so close to power. It is very interesting to see that. And I kind of wonder, like, do they gravitate to those positions because they can get away with their psychopathic behavior more.
I don't know if it's because, I think it's because a lot of those positions require, or not require, but you will ascend to these positions of power quicker if you do not take other people's emotions into account.
True, but yeah. I mean, politicians are pretty smooth. They're usually very charming, and they make you they make people feel like they care about them.
Yes, they can manipulate people into feeling like they're being cared for. But at the end of the day, if they all they really care about is the ascent to power.
Mm-hmm. What about Jimmy Carter though? He seems like a nice guy.
That's what I mean. It's not required to get to these positions, but I think it is easier for people that don't feel empathy to ascend to these positions. Especially when, like, you can basically appease if there's other psychopaths in these positions of power that are like the gateways to you becoming part of the inner circle. Like, they don't want to see someone that isn't passing the law that's going to poison the drinking water of one town, but it's going to triple their profits next quarter. Like, they want someone who will make that choice without having some sort of ethical dilemma.
Yeah, true. Very true. So yeah, those personality traits are desirable. Yeah. And then you can also, I think that is true. Yeah. I think there's gotta be a balance of it to some degree of
the fact that she thought that story was going to be the story that proved that she's got what it takes to make hard decisions is like,
I shot my puppy because it killed some chickens. After I took it hunting.
After it killed the wrong birds.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta read that. I feel like I gotta read this story. Like, there has to be some context missing. Like,
it's an illustration of that point.
Like,
talks about shooting a goat that was mean.
And was she like, I felt really bad, but my father was, you know, said it had to be done. So
no, she said she hated the puppy. She said, I hated that puppy. Like, it was a piece of shit, and I hated that goat. I'm glad I shot them both. I have what it takes.
I have what it takes to kill things I hate.
I think she's saying, I will shoot Donald Trump, and I will become the president.
Oh, God, that sounds... It's so funny. Trump is just like... I will
put Joe Biden down.
Give me the bare minimum qualifications needed, but as long as they're hot, I'll take them.
Yeah, his whole, Lena Haba.
How many people has he fired in his political career?
Oh, so many people. He's left such a wake, like, of attorney generals and...
So, yeah, enemies, basically.
Yeah. Probably. None of his former cabinet officials have endorsed him. In fact, they have all they've all said, don't put this guy in near the White House ever again.
Well, a little too late for that, you idiots. You should have known that. I mean, the guy's famous for firing people. He's legitimately famous for that exact thing.
Yeah. I think he seems like... do you think he has psychopathic traits?
Trump?
He's got at least narcissism.
I think he's...
He seems impulsive. I think
he's a narcissist for sure.
He's a narcissist beyond like imagination.
I think he's more narcissist than psychopath, I would say. Yeah. I think there would be a lot more bodies if he was a psychopath. I think he's a narcissist, basically man child is what he is.
Yeah, who knows what he's like behind the scenes though? Like, he might be good at hiding his behavior. He definitely has the personality traits. Like, he seems callous, remorseless. But he seems impulsive in some ways.
Oh, definitely impulsive. But I just feel like that's the thing, is if he was a real psychopath, I think there would be a lot more, people falling off of balconies. Let's put it that way. I think Putin's a psychopath.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I just don't feel like Donald Trump has...
He's a coward. He's too cowardly to actually...
I don't think he has the self-control to stop himself from wanting to kill someone if he did.
He threatens and talks about judges and people like that in such a way as to provoke other people to do violence. Like the stuff he says about the judges and the prosecutors is like, he says they're straight up, like they're rigging this, they're corrupt as hell. Like he clearly says stuff to try to provoke other people to commit violence. He's kind of like the Joker in that sense.
Yeah, I guess so. I would never tell that to him because he would that would go straight to his head. He'd probably start wearing a purple suit.
Oh man, he is kind of like the Joker, eh?
Little bit, but
he drives other people to violent action. Like that was all about what January 6th was. He drove all those people into a violent frenzy.
He's like Joaquin Phoenix's the Joker, not Heath Ledger.
No, Heath Ledger's Joker was all about turning people against each other.
Like, I guess so. But he would put in like he had so much more well thought out plans.
Yeah, all of Trump's plans are so stupid.
Yeah, I know.
Just literally calling people on the phone, getting recorded, committing crimes.
I'm actually surprised there isn't more of a fever pitch about the election already. Like, I feel like it was more tense in this time in the last election, leading up to the last election at this point in time. Or is that...
I think people are sick of Trump.
I think people are very sick. This is the third campaign trail we've had to watch.
People really are sick of him. And I support it. He won't have nearly enough. It'll be a close election again, but he won't win.
Because I keep on hearing he's got it locked, but I'm also like, I thought there would be a lot more of a pushback from his base when it came to these trials, but it doesn't seem like there's actually all that much.
No, because he does not. This is why I think he might be a psychopath, is because he demonstrates the personality traits, remorselessness, callousness, by not disputing any of the facts in any of these cases. He does not dispute any of the things that they said that he did. He's like, yeah, I fucking did it. And I had the absolute fucking right to do it. That's pretty much his defense to everything, is I had the fucking right to do this shit. You know, they express it in legalese, but that's what it boils down to, I think.
Right.
Which is just so stupid, like to be fighting this and not just settling it.
Can you, what happened in the Supreme Court yesterday? I heard it was a letdown for a lot of people. What happened?
Oh, well, it's just the fact that they're even listening to this absolute immunity thing. Right. So his election interference case in DC is on hold because he challenged it, saying, I have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution.
That's just an insane proposition in itself. How is that even?
Yeah. So they're listening to it and they're entertaining arguments that, because his lawyer is saying like he would be allowed to assassinate a rival if he wanted to for personal gain. Like that could be hypothetically.
That's what Trump's lawyer is saying.
Trump's lawyer said that in the Supreme Court. Yeah.
And they weren't like,
they're listening to this. He also said this, his lawyers used the same arguments before this at the Court of Appeal, got flatly, scathingly rejected. And then they of course appealed it, as is their right. And the Supreme Court, for whatever reason, cynically, to delay the case until after the election, decided to hear it. What is there to hear? It's just insanity, right? Like listening to it, I was like, this is the most insane conversation I've ever heard. This is.
Oh, you listened to the whole hearing?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my goodness. That is, I mean, this is just, anyways. Yeah, I don't know if I would say he's a psychopath, but I do think he's a screaming narcissist with the impulse control of a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on in psychopathy topics. Here's an interesting one. Does the existence of psychopaths prove that God does not exist?
No.
Like, for example, right? So, what God, right? It says in the Bible, God created people in his own image.
Right.
Could God then, therefore, create someone who is incapable of caring about, you know, harming others? They just don't care. Like,
well, see, psychopaths, they accidentally had the Old Testament God image, mm-hmm. when everybody else is still with the, are now with the new, the New Testament God software. So some of the old, that old software slips in, and you get a couple psychopaths running around out there.
Okay, that's a pretty weak argument, I would say.
Why? How is it any weaker than the other argument? We're talking about God here.
Oh, well, because I don't think...
I mean, if God, my point is, if we're all made after God's image,
right?
There's plenty of examples of God acting like a psychopath, especially in the Old Testament.
Oh, okay, fair. Yeah, fair. Good point. Okay. Well, maybe looking at it from another perspective, what does it say about God that he would create you, a psychopath, who has no feelings of, who is built this way? They are built with aggression, impulsivity, violation of other people's rights, callousness, remorselessness, narcissism. They make you like that. God makes you like that partly with a smaller amygdala and stuff. And, puts you into the body of a baby born to someone who's going to, or into an environment where you're going to be raised by antisocial people. Would a good God do that to somebody and then punish them for their sins by sending them to hell?
See, I mean, the obvious answer to me is no, but I was just watching this, a YouTube video I was watching the other day, is there's always the argument that God's perspective and his mode of operation is so beyond any rationale that we could come up with. But from his ultimate knowledge and ultimate perspective of time and space, that isn't actually a bad thing to do, is to create psychopaths and then torture them for their own biology for eternity. That actually, if you have enough of a macro perspective, it's actually very good for that person.
Yeah, you do have to take the God's eye view of it.
It's basically God works in mysterious ways. Ooh, the mystery of eternal torture for something I have no control over.
Yeah, that's so weird, right? I remember like looking in the index of the Bible and not being able to find hell referenced in the Old Testament. Thinking, that's really weird. Where did that come in from?
It's because it's not hell. They say weeping and gnashing of teeth, which, like I've said before, go to any rave where people are on Molly and you're going to see the same thing. Weeping and gnashing of teeth isn't always because you feel bad.
Sometimes that's true.
It's because you feel really, really good.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. If when Tiesto dies, he probably will go to hell. So there will be a party. There will be a
rave. Elements of life, you just start hearing it. Oh, Tiesto died. Here he is.
Oh, man. The last time I heard that song, I blacked out shortly thereafter.
Elements of life?
I think so, yeah.
Were you playing the bass drop game that our friend Sweaty invented with that song?
No, we were playing, I think we were playing beer pong on my birthday at that Airbnb.
Okay. Yeah. No, that wasn't the song's fault. It was Tito's vodka.
Yeah.
That to you, that is your kryptonite, that shit.
Yeah, that stuff's bad. anyway. Okay. So yeah, interesting stuff about God there with psychopaths. Here's another thought. Maybe like, and we know what an individual looks like as a psychopath, but what about, can a group be a psychopath? Like, for example, could a corporation be a psychopath? Or I guess people say like a mob on the street, like a sports mob rioting after their team loses.
Well, there's definitely like, there's the well-documented mob mentality where people will do terrible things they would never do as an individual when they're in a part of a mob. Yeah. Is that psychopathy? I don't know. It's like temporary psychopathy brought on by like biological triggers of a group of your species all working towards one goal.
Yeah, that's scary. The mob instinct takes over.
I mean, everybody has been a part of that to some degree or another, whether it's, you know, most people haven't been a part of a violent mob, but you've definitely in smaller scale, maybe said some things about people that you wouldn't have said if you were just there by yourself. You know, if everybody's like, it's like bullies back in like school, you know, like most bullies, there might be one bully that'll be actively bullying as an individual, but most people, they wouldn't be treating the victim that way if it was just them two in a room, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Like a group of
five kids. You're not trying to absolve yourself of any crime.
I'm definitely guilty of this. But, you know, I think most people in their school, throughout their school career, are both bullies and the victim at some point or another.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But, I threw some pine cones at people who did not deserve it.
Yes. But like I said, you put the kid who's usually bullied with one other kid or another kid, you know, one-on-one, to bully someone one-on-one is not as common as someone that will join in to a group bully situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Someone who would go out of their way to start bullying, the instigator, is way worse than the people who join in. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe the joiners in are just as bad, just taking advantage of it. Cowards.
Well, I think they're getting caught up. Their morals are sinking to the lowest common denominator in the group, right?
Yeah.
But like if you put two people in a room one-on-one with no one else in the room, like 9% of the time, I feel like there's no bullying going to happen. But, you know,
yeah, people tend to work together.
Yes.
When it comes down to it.
Because it's a self-preservation thing, because they know if they join in on the bully side, they are protecting themselves from being bullied.
Yeah. And they just better hope the bully is not a psychopath.
Yeah.
They'll turn on his own team. But anyway, that's like a good question. What are like the disadvantages of being a psychopath? And I guess that's one. Maybe it's harder for you to work with others.
Yeah,
as an equal with them, like treat other people like as your equal and work as a team.
Is it always true that psychopaths have a high IQ? Because I know there's a correlation there somehow.
No, because a lot of them are in prison. I think 25% of the prison population have psychopathic traits.
Really? And is psychopathy, there's a spectrum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I would feel like the people who are expressing it more are more likely to be in prison, because given the trait, they're given the personality traits and the behavior, it's like you're bound to break the law at some point.
Mm-hmm. I
probably
think
in a violent way.
Having psychopathic traits would be beneficial depending on what your goals are, right?
Okay.
If your goal is to have a loving relationship with a family and a big group of friends and just, you know, gain your happiness through your relationships with others, that's not going to be a great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you want to become the leader of a fucking gang or, you know, a legal gang, which could be called a corporation.
Uh-huh. Good point. Very good point.
That's going to be very useful to not have, to not be eaten away with guilt because of the choices you made that day.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't deal with guilt and remorse, you have a big advantage when it comes to doing certain things.
Yeah. That's why I don't think Genghis Khan was laying awake at night being like, oh, man, I really shouldn't have slaughtered all those people today. Tomorrow I'll do better.
Oh my God.
Every
night
he could
stop
going back to his yurt. Oh, I did it again. Killed hundreds of thousands of people again today. Damn it. Can't help myself.
Bad Genghis.
No, I only get one cup of beer tonight. That's one of my favorite stories about one of his brothers, is that he was such a drunk that his like advisors voted to ban him from he was only allowed to have one cup of ale per day because he was drinking so much. And then the next, damn, after they decreed that, he showed up with a giant fucking huge ass cup full of ale.
Piece of shit.
That guy gets it.
It's a cup.
It is. It's you said cup. One cup. It's a cup.
You said it.
Yeah.
Technically. Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, if you're going to be a conqueror or a warlord, yeah, or a CEO who has to fire everybody.
Or just make choices that will benefit his shareholders, but fuck over the actual, like, innocent people.
Oh, yeah, like every single corporation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when the only thing that matters is increasing profits every single quarter, it's like, you can't take in consideration the everyman, you know, the people that get left behind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see Ubisoft from my apartment.
Oh yeah.
Those bastards. That's the name from here.
See, now my cat's trying to get in the door, putting her paws underneath and trying to crank it open. See, she
can't blame her. Morally
speaking, you can't blame her. I can't blame her.
She's not quite a psychopath, though, because she doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong at all.
Yeah, I don't even think she understands why she wants the door open. Because she was just doing the same thing to get out of this room moments ago.
Oh, man. Could that be a new chicken across the road? Like, why did the cat want to open the door?
To see what's inside?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like my cats have like a hardcore case of FOMO. Like, are you guys eating? You guys eating treats in there?
Yeah, probably, most likely.
Back to psychopaths and corporations. I think corporations are basically like businesses that became psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the law that they have to do whatever it takes to get profits, more profits every quarter? I heard that somewhere. Like, there's a law that they have to do. Once a company goes public, they are beholden to their shareholders to do everything within their power to increase profits every quarter.
I don't know if that's like the overarching law. I think it's probably specific to every company and its articles of incorporation, I would think. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there's like an overarching law that you have to maximize profits. Like, you might want to set up a corporation that doesn't try to do that. But those are pretty rare, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, how many really, like, I feel like there's only like five actual separate entities nowadays that are just at the top of everything. And they're the top G corporations, and they have a lot of spawn corporations that make it look like there's a lot of people controlling different things, but really it's all like Disney, Apple, and like BlackRock.
Yeah. I mean, they might have an obligation to keep the stock value up, but I don't know.
Because like, if they're like, oh, we made this choice that it won't net you as much of a profit, but it's better for the environment. Like, I feel like there's a lot of, I think that's frowned upon from the shareholders' perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. The shareholders won't be happy, especially if their shares decline in value and they lose money on their investment.
Right.
As long as the stock price goes up, I think the shareholders are happy. And that's where you see the disconnect between reality and the stock market. Like, sometimes a company isn't worth what its share price seems to suggest.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff.
No. Me and you, not businessmen. Surprise, surprise.
I did $200 into crypto, lost it, and that's it.
Yeah. I put $500 in. It went down. It went up. It went down. It went up. I never went up or down in significant portions. It was in there for like years, and then I think I ended up taking out like almost exactly what I put in.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's just like a slot machine type situation. Watching the numbers move is the point. It's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is what it. I don't know what it is, but
it is what it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So I think one interesting thing about psychopaths is I don't think they can exist without non-psychopaths. I think they need us to work together and accomplish things that they couldn't do. I don't think a world of psychopaths could accomplish anything.
No, because they would just constantly be trying to manipulate each other to do their own bidding, right?
Yeah, they'd be too aggressive, impulsive, and stuff.
It would just end up being a bloodbath, I feel like, if you just put a bunch of psychopaths in a room together.
Yeah, it's like prison. Like, even in prison, they're only 25% of the population. Mm-hmm. And they necessitate so much security.
Yeah, they're not exactly team players.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think they, I don't know. Do you think it's an advantage overall or a disadvantage to be a psychopath? Would you say?
It depends on the context of what success means to you, right?
True.
It's definitely an advantage if power is your main goal in life. I would say, depending if you have correlating intelligence to utilize, right? I don't think being a stupid psychopath is going to help anyway. You're just going to fail left, right, and center. You're going to fail all through life. There's almost no way you don't end up in prison at a young age.
Yeah. There's a great story about there's this heir, right, to a big fortune. And he like stole like 30 grand from his parents and was like on this, and then he like killed somebody and was fleeing the crime scene and had like all this money on him. Mm-hmm. And, would have made it out of the state maybe and gotten away, but decided to stop and go into a grocery store, steal a hot dog, and get caught stealing the hot dog and then arrested.
Yeah. I think a lot of psychopaths that are not intelligent will end up in prison. But I will say this. I feel like psychopaths have a better time in prison than non-psychopaths.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because they're basically given parameters within which to operate with their psychopathy, right? Like, if power is what they want, they will exert their power over some people in the prison. And they'll probably be able to ascend to the top of the social hierarchy. Easier than a non-psychopath in prison.
Yeah, very true.
Again, if they have the intelligence to go with it. But I think a dumb psychopath is probably one of the worst hands you can get in life.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I think overall, I would think like of all the psychopaths, I would think most of them wind up in not doing so well. I think
most of them will end up, I don't think they'll ever be satisfied. So they'll always go past what their abilities, you know, they'll always reach for, you know, their grasp is further than their reach or whatever the saying is, you know what I'm saying?
Their reach exceeds their grasp.
Exactly. Their reach exceeds their grasp. I think a lot of psychopaths will end up getting themselves in a situation where they end up ultimately losing.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think also a lot of them, they fail and they aren't successful in life because they are inherently like, they inherently have impulse control problems and aggression problems, and they can't learn lessons because they don't feel guilt or remorse from what they do.
Right.
And they just don't care about, you know, like they're callous to things. They don't care if they succeed or fail.
If they can't sufficiently hide their psychopathy, they're pretty much fucked.
Yeah. So I think the ones who do succeed are the ones who are to some extent, maybe like, because like we've said, they people express these traits at different levels. So I think the people who succeed are probably the ones who express the impulse problems less, but still have like the remorselessness and the callousness.
Exactly. They have control over their impulses, but they still don't feel guilt when they hurt other people.
Yeah. And those people who can hide it and charm and stuff, they are a conundrum for Plato and Socrates because they have like a ring of Gyges on them at all times because they can seem so nice and outwardly moral and like a good person when hiding their psychopathic behavior.
Well, my cat's freaking out, so I'm gonna we'll call it there. How about that?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you.
Bye.